Lord Jesus, thank you for the freedom that you've given us. Thank you for the liberty wherewith you have made us free. Lord, thank you. Help us to stand fast in that liberty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. We pray for and many other people in the body. Pray for hearing, people's ears. Pray for heart disease. Pray for cancer, people who are battling cancer, recovering from strokes, recovering from surgeries. Pray for Pastor Mike and his nervous system, his spinal cord, and just everything that you know what is happening in his body, that you would intervene there. You could change the direction. Thank you. Pray for our work as a church, Lord, that it wouldn't be considered work, but it would be worship, and lead us out in worship as we go. And that we would find disciples, make disciples, lead people to you. Pray for every track, card, conversation that we had yesterday, that you would breathe life in those. There could be a little spark of curiosity of Christ in someone's heart, and that you would fan that little spark and turn it into a flame, Lord. You are a consuming fire. Thank you. Thank you for the time that we're living in, the time that you've called us to, that we would understand what you're calling us to do, what direction you're calling us to go in. Pray for the church as a whole. Pray for pastors. Pray for leaders, Lord, that you would turn them to the Bible. Lord, if they're not in the Bible, that you would lead them to the Bible. Pray for every church in this area, that it would come, the pulpit would be on fire, Lord. Serious time we're in. Thank you, Jesus, that you've called us to it. Bless our fellowship now, our message, and our conversation afterwards in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. Open with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We spoke this morning about a little while, right? A little while from John chapter 16. A little while. And what that does to us when someone tells us a little while, right? It could be like with the kids. When are we going to go? In a little while. Right? 2 seconds later, when are we going to go? In a little while. On a road trip, are we almost there? Are we there yet? Right? In a little while. We had one time where we were heading down to Baltimore and we didn't even get to 495 yet. And it was, are we there yet? I'm like, oh man. Yeah, already. We're 2 minutes into the ride. It's going to be a little while, right? And we could get a little anxious as to what God is saying when he says a little while. But when we see the work of Christ in the cross and we see the resurrection, we walk in him. Romans 6:4 says, walk in the newness of life, right? Just like he's walking in the newness of life. We understand, we can be a little more patient. I feel like that's the story of the book of Romans. That the book of Romans is turning over from depravity to, selfish interest and then into righteousness and then into great teaching. And then we know Romans chapter 8, we spoke a little bit about it this morning. Actually, we didn't speak about it, we just read it, right? What shall separate me from the love of Christ? Nothing. And we could say, well, time could do some stuff. And say, no, time cannot separate me from the love of Christ. Actually, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors in eternity. Eternally, we are conquerors, and in time, we are conquerors because of Christ's victory on the cross. So, when Christ says to the disciples, it'll be a little while, it'll be a little while, then they meet him in resurrection, and then he leaves again, right? He ascends up into heaven. We've talked about this scene. It must have been quite the scene. Christ is sitting there speaking to them, and then all of a sudden, right, his feet start to leave the ground, and he's going up, right? The 500 people are standing there watching him, and they say, what now? What does the angel say? He'll be back in a little while, right? Basically, he'll be back in a little while. But when that is there, he says that he'll be back in a little while, but he does not give them the pass that they would do nothing. That the believer, this time that we're living in, the church age, this time is an extraordinary time, and it's not a time to do nothing as a church. It's not a time to do nothing as believers. It could be, you're in the house, everyone's getting ready. When are we leaving? In a little while. So you can just sit on the couch and watch a YouTube video and then it's time to go, right? But here in our call and in our faith, Christ says, I'll be back in a little while. But he doesn't just say, do whatever you want to do, and then when I come back, it'll be good. But instead, he calls us to be engaged in his work. He calls us to be moving and calls us to be making disciples. Right before he left, he told the disciples, didn't he? In Matthew 28. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. Why is it a Great Commission? Because it's a great work. But also it's a Great Commission because it covers a great period of time. It's a Great Commission because it's graciously given to us. It's a Great Commission because it's something that God has put in our hands to do. Right? There's an interesting story in Acts chapter 10 where Peter has a sheet come down, right? You know the story? And so what does the angel say to him? Take, kill, and eat, right? Three times, I think it happens three times, the sheet comes down. This is all yours, right? And then Peter says what? Oh Lord, I haven't eaten any of that filthy food since my birth. And he says, hey, easy Peter. There's a different thing happening now. What I call clean, don't call unclean. This is different. We're not talking about the structure of religion. We're talking about the work of grace, the work of God. We're talking about the work of God. It's different now, Peter. And actually, it's preparing Peter for something extraordinary. Because at the same time, there's a man named Cornelius in a different place. And what is he doing? He's praying. Isn't he? Cornelius is praying. We can say he's searching for God. Like the work of God is happening in Cornelius. Pre-salvation work is happening in Cornelius. He's praying. What is he? Sees a vision. What's the vision? It's an angel. Comes to speak to Cornelius. Can you imagine that an angel shows up and speaks to you as you're praying? How many people have asked for that to happen? Right? They say, Lord, where? Show me something. But the angel shows up and speaks to him. And what does he say? He says, go call Peter. Go send for Peter. And then what else? It says, he has words that you need to hear. Peter has words you need to hear. Well, if we were thinking about it, we could say, well, you're an angel. You are better than Peter. Like, you are more glorious, more majestic. Why can't you just tell me the words? Right. Isn't that interesting? What work has God done by angels? But then what work does he not do by angels? There is something happening in the earth right now that angels don't have a part of. And that is our words being spoken to other people, people to people, speaking words, and not only, not empty words, but words that lead to life. So this guy Cornelius says, okay, the angel, this majestic, beautiful being, whatever they look like, just came and told me to go get some guy because his words are more will have more of an impact on me than this angel's words. Ooh, what does that do for us? That puts a premium on us. That changes the way I view the sentence a little while. Right? A little while. Jesus is gone. Peter saw it happen. I'll be back in a little while. And Peter says, okay, what do we do now? The angel says, why are you standing here? Go, go, in Acts chapter 1. Go. So this is like our life now. We are in the same place as Peter, in a sense, right? I don't want anyone to start calling themselves apostle, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is that we are individuals that are called by God, and we have words, and words that can make an impact on the world we live in, right? So, Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. You guys are there, aren't you? Yeah, I said Ephesians 5 a while ago, didn't I? Everyone's saying, man, you've been everywhere in the Bible except Ephesians chapter 5. Come on. Let's get to it. So Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. See that you walk circumspectly. What does that mean, to be circumspect? Cautious. Right? Cautious. See that you walk cautiously. Not as fools, but as wise. I was in Ghana. The first time I went to Ghana, I learned that calling someone a fool is the biggest offense you can give. Right? You know how I learned that? By calling someone a fool. Right? And he looked at me, and it's because it's biblical. Right? A fool. Right? We don't want to be fool. You read about the fools in the book of Proverbs. It's not a good place to be. All right. Not as fools, but as wise. Okay, here we go. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. All right. Redeeming the time. Lord, when are you coming back? In a little while. What am I supposed to do till then? Redeem the time. Like we have the ability to redeem time. We could say, I don't know how I'll do that. And he could answer us and say, it's okay, I have prepared the people. Just like Cornelius was prepared to meet Peter. Right? That was not orchestrated by Peter. Wasn't it? Actually, Peter tried to get out of it. And Peter had many reasons not to do that. Because the people came to him and they said, hey, Cornelius needs you. And he said, okay, let's go. And then he goes in the house. He's like, ooh, I've never eaten with Gentiles before. I've never had bacon before. Right? Oh, it's good. Right? And he said, oh, my eyes are opened. I actually had a Jewish friend in school, freshman year in high school. It was in Budapest, Hungary. And I had these, they had bacon flavored potato chips in Budapest. Right? I know. They were ahead of the times. They were ahead of the times. We don't have them yet. Do we? I've never seen them. Bacon-flavored chips? Anyway, my friend, Ronnie Michalishvili, he's like, oh, what do you got there? And he just started eating them. And he said, man, these are good. These are good. And I don't know, I'm not thinking a thing about it, right? He said, what flavor are they? And I said, oh, they're bacon. Right? And I was shocked. He was shocked. He turned white as a ghost. I didn't see him for the next class. I don't know where he went, right? This is Peter. Peter is the same way. He comes to Cornelius' house and he says, listen, God has prepared me. And Cornelius is saying, I think God has prepared me also. What a place to be in. To be led by God to people that God has prepared for the gospel. The result, the work is there. The work is done by God. Peter shows up and he preaches the gospel and Cornelius and his entire household get saved. This is how it happens. Not by our striving, not by our calculating. You know, we like it says, right? Walk cautiously and be wise. Yeah, we're wise. We have ministries. We have outreaches. But at the same time, we don't want to be so organized that the Holy Spirit doesn't lead us. Imagine in Acts chapter 16. I've been reading Acts a lot lately. Acts chapter 16, Paul has a plan. Paul has a plan to go somewhere. The Holy Spirit says, no, and nah. And then he says, okay, I'm going to go this way. No, you're not. And finally that night, Paul has a dream. He has a vision of a guy from Macedonia saying, come and help us. Wow. What if Paul said, no, I have a plan. No, I have a program. I have a 5-year plan. I need to go this way. I need to go that way. And God says, no, 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 you have... Your plan is to follow my direction. And he goes, and there's an amazing thing happens. The gospel is introduced into the continent of Europe through Paul's listening to the Holy Spirit. This is our life also. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time is not so much my effort. It's not so much my accomplishments. It's not so much my striving, but it is more so my being in tune with the Holy Spirit and listening. And being led by him. And when he says, open your mouth, we open our mouths. Right? We all have stories. Beth told me a funny story about God leading her to give the gospel to somebody on a plane, right? On a flight back. Yeah. Yeah, just talk to this person. She said, no. God said, talk to this person. No. Talk to this person. No. So then at the luggage, the pickup, the luggage, Pastor Doug grabs that woman's bag, puts it in her trunk. They get all the way home. They get a call from Logan that says, you have somebody else's bag. Right? And it ends up being that woman. Right? And you ended up giving her a ride home, right? Yeah, you gave her a ride home. Right? So it's not, and God did that, right? God did that. God did it. God orchestrates these things in our life. And I'm talking about it in the context of one-on-one conversations and giving the gospel, but it's also in bigger things. I mean, more, in all of our details and in our life, God is leading us and He is preparing us. Imagine when we go on a missions trip or when we go on outreach, we think, I love the idea in the prayer that, Lord, prepare my heart for this, but also prepare people's questions now. We could be praying for our Saturday outreach. We're going to Clinton on Saturday. We could be praying right now that God would prepare people's hearts. God would stir questions up. God would let someone wander through the park that day and come across Joyce or Brian or Jonah or whatever, whoever's there. Estuardo, right? Soul winner back there. Estuardo. I need you on Wednesday nights. Okay. Wednesday nights, 5:00, we're going up to Broad Street. Broad Street and Lincoln Street. We're going to see what's happening. We just post up, right? I was telling Rob, I said, this is what I want to do. I want to be known for being in this place, right? As a church, I want people to know that we are in this place every Wednesday night, right? Like, I think it's good. That's a good place to do it, too. We got the liquor store. Maybe the liquor store will become like our cafe or something. Right? How about that? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Right? French Hill! Right? Pour out the booze! Get some more Bible! I don't know. What could God do? God could do anything. And what is our role in it? Walk. Take a step of faith. Believe that God has put you on a mission to redeem this time. Because we don't know the details of the time. We don't know everything that is coming down the pipe, do we? If we did, we'd be too prepared for it. Right? Like, ba, 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 ba. But instead, He calls us by faith. He says, will you redeem the time? And we could say, well, I'm not sure what I'm redeeming. He says, no, you're redeeming the time. You have a little while. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 8, it's called a small space of grace. Right now, a small space of grace has been given to us. A peg in a holy place. Right, to turn our bondage, to redeem us in our bondage. What an idea. Christ has given us this time. Andy White told me, okay, so anyway, we're going to be up here every Wednesday night at 5:00. We'll go up to the corner, Lincoln Street and Broad Street, and we could be like 6 of us, 8 of us, 2 of us, right? Whatever it is, we just get on the corners and we just got the whole corner surrounded, right? And we'll have a presence there. And what does it mean? Well, I don't know what it means. It's not about us, but it's about what we bring into an area. Right, we bring the gospel and we bring a conversation. We did this in Silver Spring, Maryland for 8 years. We were on the same street corner every Saturday night for 8 years. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. The first year it was just evangelism. But then the next years there were people who would come to us with an expectation that we would be there. Right? They would get a Bible. They could get a Bible if they wanted one. They would bring their Bible questions. Right, high school kids would say, hey, this is what I experienced this week. Can you help me think through it? And we got them all Bibles and we gave them verses every week. This is what happens through consistently being in a place. So if we can have that impact on that corner, let's pray for it. And then also it stretches us out a little bit. What's another hour in the week? Could I give another hour of my time to evangelism? And I was thinking, what does it cost? What's the cost to me to be out for another hour in the week on evangelism? Could be pride. Could cost me some pride. It'll cost me time, obviously. It could cost me a TV show. That's the difference, isn't it? A TV show or standing on the corner for an hour. It could cost me a little discomfort. But what does it do? Well, it does something in me. It builds me as a believer, but also it could have eternal ramifications for other people. It could be that God has ordained this time that on Wednesday night I'm standing there in the corner and he has someone walking down the road and we're there with the gospel. So that's what I'm talking about redeeming this time that we're in. And because there's a lot we could do, isn't there? There's so much we can do with our time. The biggest thing I think that I do with my time is waste it. But how about we give it back to God? We can say, I want to redeem this time instead of waste it. 10 minutes in prayer. A devotional with my kids in the morning. Prayer with my wife at night. Just the little investments and the little redemption. The little redemption here, a little redemption there. And who knows what could happen. But the beautiful thing is that I'm not in it for what could happen. Right? I'm in it to obey God. Because in obeying God, something happens in my life. It stirs me up. It changes things. It turns things over in my heart. Right? Break up the fallow ground. Didn't Jeremiah say that? Break up the fallow ground. What is the fallow ground? It's unfruitful. It's compacted. It's like wasted space. But I could break it up, get the rototiller in there and blah, 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 and turn it over. Release the stuff that's deep in the soil so it can be nutritious to the things that are on top. This is what we are doing. We're breaking things up. When we redeem the time, we are breaking things up. So, the impact that Peter has on Cornelius' family is that they are saved. They are eternally saved. Why? Because Peter saved them? No, because Peter redeemed the time. And it wasn't the work that angels can do. It wasn't the work that anybody else is called to do except for us as believers, as believer priests, as saints, as the light bearers in this time. Right? We are the ones who are bringing the message. I read a quote the other day. Actually, it's in the front of my Bible, and it says that it's easier to light a candle than complain about darkness. Yeah. Isn't that good? I have a lot I could say about the world we live in. And we could stand on that street corner over there and we could say there's a lot wrong with this picture. Right? There's addiction. There's wasted money. There's broken families. There's infidelity. There's adultery. Like all of this stuff is walking past us. And we could sit there on our little soapboxes and complain and be critical about it. Or we could light a candle. And say, hey, I have an answer for your addiction. I have an answer for your broken heart. I have an answer for your broken marriage. I have an answer. His name is Jesus. And we are qualified. We are. Every one of us is qualified to do this. And you say, what is the qualification? My bachelor's degree? I have a bachelor's degree in missiology. Right? I have a bachelor's in biblical studies. I have a master's in divinity. Right? I have all of this stuff. I don't, actually. But I don't have anything. I have a Mr. Potato Head. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm just saying it. But it's not about the qualification. The only qualification there is my place in Christ. Right? And do I believe? The interesting thing about both Peter and Paul in Acts chapter 10 and then in Acts chapter 16 is that they believe the message that they were speaking. The angel says to Cornelius, Peter has words that can impact your eternity. And then Peter is told, go and speak. Imagine if you were told, go and speak, and you don't believe the thing that you're speaking about. Paul in Acts chapter 16, go into Macedonia. There's a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come and help us. Paul could say, well, how can I help you? I don't have any money. I'm a tent maker. Your words can help us, Paul. And because he believed in the words that he spoke, he said it in Romans 1, they are the power of God unto salvation. He can run into Macedonia and seek out the person that needs help. And you know what's interesting? Actually, let's turn there. This is a good in closing here. That's exactly what happens. See what happens to Peter or Paul. Who are we talking about? Paul, right? Paul. Paul goes into Philippi. He actually meets three people immediately, but I just want to talk about these two people. In Macedonia, there's the man, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in a night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And help us. Not come over to Macedonia and join our darkness. Come help us critique ourselves. Come help us analyze our darkness, complain about the darkness. No, come help us. Bring your light here, because your light is effective. Do you believe the words you speak? When you communicate the gospel to somebody, do you believe yourself that the gospel is effective? Amen. When we do, we will go. When we do, we will take that step of faith, sometimes sheepishly, sometimes so insecurely. Honest to God, every time I go on evangelism still, like that first track, I'm like, I'm like a little, nervous. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I don't want to interrupt them. Like, we were walking down the street. We took the wrong turn, but we found out it was the right turn because it led us to two guys. But even then, they were standing like up in the driveway, and it's like, well, I got to like walk up the driveway, and I kind of got to get their attention. They were talking and working. Okay. So, hey, excuse me. Oh, they didn't hear me. Let's go. No, we say, hey, what are you doing? And they looked at us. Right? And then we spoke for quite a while. It was beautiful. But when we believe the message that we have, it's beautiful. I met a guy on a flight one time, and he was one of this guy, he was so personable and so charismatic that I walked off the plane with him, and Pastor Gary Grunwald thought we traveled together. He's like, oh, is this, you come with you? I was like, no, I just met him like 3 minutes ago, right? He's like, you guys looked like you were best friends. I was like, I know, I don't know how that happened. But we were sitting there talking, waiting for our luggage, and, and he said, what are you doing? And I told him I'm a pastor and I'm here and I'll be participating in a conference and with different missionaries from all over the world. It was so exciting. And I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm presenting at a medical conference. I said, oh, are you a doctor? He goes, no, I make pasta. I said, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. So you're going to speak at a medical technology conference because you make pasta. And he said, no, my sister hired me. He said, I'm a personality. She gives me the information and I just present it. And he was that kind of guy. Like he was like electric, right? He was exciting. He was fun to hang out with, even though it was like 10 minutes. But like he was that kind of guy. And he said, I just tell her, I read what she gives me. I practice it. I present it. I sound like I know what I'm saying. And then I walk off the stage before anyone can ask a question. Right? Wow. Yeah, how much do they charge? How much are you getting paid for that? No, and like what a life. That is not our message. That is not our life. But actually the only reason I am speaking at all is because I have such a powerful message. Maybe I don't want to speak, and this is the way we are. We're all different, right? I don't want to speak to people. But the message has so burned in my heart, the love of Christ compels me, like it does Paul, right? So, Paul goes into Macedonia. After he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Right? Help! Help! Oh, we should go, bring them some rice. No! Preach the gospel. Immediately! How do we get there? We need to bring the gospel to these people. So they go. They spend time, they meet Lydia, they do some work, the ministry is growing, it's happening, so much so that the Philippians are, like insecure about them. And they arrest them, they beat them with rods. They beat them and then they put them in prison, they chain them up, right? Just bloodied and beaten. And what do? Complain about the darkness? No, they light a candle and they sing a song, right? They, like Richard Wurmbrand was in prison, and when they had him chained, they thanked the guards for giving them instruments. The instruments were the chains and shackles that they were. How about that outlook, huh? They were like 100 feet down underground in a communist prison. How do you feel? Thank you for the instruments. Now we can worship more beautifully. Okay, I want to have that kind of outlook, right? That's Paul and Silas. So they start to sing, and what happens? The ground shakes. The prison doors open. Bing, 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 bing. Right, open. Free to go. The prison guard comes out and he sees all the doors open and he says, that's it, they're all gone. I'm going to end it. But what happens? Paul speaks up. All accounted for. This is God's doing. We are not escaping. We are secure. And he says, don't do it, but instead be saved. The guy takes Paul and Silas to his house. He washes their wounds and he feeds them and the whole household gets saved. Like those two people were in need of something. This guy, his prison guard, is about to commit suicide, right? But Paul is there speaking up. We can say the situation is bigger than him. This man's life is there. His situation's bigger than me. I'll just sit back and see what happens. No, 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 no. He speaks up. He says, hey, 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 we're all here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're all here. Nobody's gone. Don't harm yourself. That comes from believing what you have to say. And that's a picture of us in the world today, too. People are hurting. People are dying, right? More than we can reach out, maybe. But if we are observing it, if we are seeing it, and we are valuing lost souls, we also will speak out. And then the story is interesting from there too, but that's the point. Do I believe it myself? That's the question. We do. We do. Hallelujah, we do. Because it has changed our lives. And it has changed our value system. It has changed everything. And now we go out with this message. So let's redeem the time. Redeem the time in your own personal life. Redeem it. How? Invest in yourself. In the sense that you invest in yourself spiritually. You invest in prayer. You invest in Bible study. Not in a way that we say, okay, this is my system and I do it. But in the sense that I allow God to lead me through the book. I spend time in prayer. 5 minutes is powerful. 10 minutes is powerful. An hour is powerful. But don't say I have to do an hour because Pastor Bailey said you have to do an hour. I say don't do an hour. Do 30 seconds. Hallelujah. But grow in prayer. And you will find that it is an investment in yourself. And the things that happens that our mind is renewed, like Romans 12:1, and I begin to think differently. And then we invest in our families. We invest in those close to us. We redeem the time we have with them. Right. Pastor Doug's testimony that one of his workers passed away last year in a motorcycle accident, and he feels like he didn't deliver the gospel to him, although knowing him, he probably did. Right. So the next thing he did is he turned to all of his employees and he just preached the gospel to them. Right. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Right? We were traveling. We stopped at the travel plaza up and down whatever road that was, 95 or Jersey Turnpike or whatever it was, and we walked in and there's two people at the counter. And I just said, thank you so much for letting us come in these doors. Right? They're like, the heck is this guy? And I said, I just gave him the gospel. Right? I said, Jesus loves you. Like, yeah. One girl, I didn't even see her. She was laying on the counter. Like there was like a display and she was just laying behind it. Like hiding from customers. And then the gentleman was there. I said, Jesus loves you. He says, yeah. And I said, that Christ died on the cross to take away your sin. And he said, wait, what? What? And then the girl popped up. She goes, say that again? And he's like, whoa. Hey, we got an audience. I said, never mind. I got to go. No, I didn't say that. And we spent just a few minutes. And maybe, I don't know what the point of that is. I don't know what the fruit of that will be, but I could see that they perked up at the gospel and then to talk about being delivered from our sins. So we redeem the time as we go this way and that way. We redeem the time with our family. We redeem the time on our mission where we are focused on what God has called us to do. So, amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this time, this little while where we can enjoy your presence, enjoy your fellowship, but also spread your light, Lord. Lead us in that, in your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.